And with that, we do have one item left. We're going to take a 10-minute break. We'll come back at 9:30, and then we'll wrap up this month's meeting. We'll be at ease for 10 minutes. All right, welcome back, everyone. We are on our final item for this month's meeting, 24, a license sales report with Director Tom Kirschman.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and good morning, Commissioners, Secretary Roebling. Tom Kirschman, Director of the Wildlife Division, just going to provide you a quick update of our year-end license sales. And to premise this to what you have in your booklet there, goes through our license year, so which would have been December 15 of 2024 through December 14 of 2025, which is our license year. A little bit different than calendar year, a little bit different than when you think of the hunting seasons, but that's been something that's been established for quite some time. So that's what these numbers will reflect. That we'll just go over here briefly. Did not include all of the license types that we issue throughout the year, like the big game licenses or the limited draw licenses. This will again focus on the over-the-counter licenses, if I can make that reference, small game, hunting, fishing licenses, habitat stamps, some of those things. So, Madam Chair, I'm just going to go right into it, just give a very brief overview of some of the numbers, but I kind of feel like a broken record that I've shared with you the last couple of months, but I can say at the end of the licensing year, we had a great year. Both hunting, fishing, end of the year very strong, looked really, really good. As we go through some of the data, you know, we'll make reference to a snapshot in time this particular year compared to last year, but also I would ask in your leisure as you look through some of the numbers also, one of the things that I think is really important is to make that comparison to the three-year average numbers that we have there as well. Because what that does is really gives us an indication of what direction we're going on any type of particular license or from a revenue standpoint. And that three-year average certainly gives us a great indication of how things are going. Again, the direction we're going, and I would say overall in a very positive direction. So as you look closer at the numbers that you have in front of you, please pay attention to that because I think that's a really important piece of the overall conversation. The first page there in front of you has to do with the combination licenses, both the regular combination, senior combination. Another good year of that. One little trend that we see happening is every year it seems like the regular combination licenses numbers decrease just a little bit, but the senior combination licenses seem to increase just a little bit. And so we think that's just a natural thing as we know in South Dakota, we have a lot of outdoor enthusiasts, a lot of our hunters and anglers as that age progression goes there. So we not alarmed by it, but it's probably just a natural thing that happens on those two particular licenses. Again, one other thing I should point out, apologize for that. As you look at the graphs and in particular, some of the revenue graphs, you are going to see some significant jumps on a couple of these license types. Again, a lot of that is reflective of the fee package that you all put into place 1 year ago that we now had a full year of implementation of that. So certainly it will be reflected in these graphs as well. The next information you have next page is the habitat stamp. You can see, again, from a resident standpoint, those numbers are very similar as they have been the last couple of years. We saw a little bit of an uptick in the non-resident side of things. This is also a great way for all of us to look at it from a participation standpoint. As you remember, every single person that hunts, fishes, combination thereof, has to acquire one habitat stamp per year. Even for those folks that would just simply want to do a big game hunting, remember they do have to purchase it even before they apply for it. Those are some of those stipulations in state law. There are a few exceptions like the private shooting preserves or a one-day license. One-day fishing licenses are not required or one-day hunting for habitat stamp. But in large, it gives us a great indication of participation and what's happening out there. And so what we do know is participation is at minimum steady, if not growing a little bit as well. So that's always another nice indicator to see from the habitat stamp on top of the revenue that's generated for us to do both that terrestrial and aquatic habitat projects and access projects for our users out there across the state. The next page are small game licenses. And this is one that obviously we spend quite a bit of time on. We focus a lot on this. Again, the top portion is resident information. Bottom portion is non-resident. A couple of key numbers I would point out. We've already talked about it a little bit. If you look at the top portion there, the small game license, primarily for pheasant, probably a good representation there of grouse hunters as well. You can see that our number is up from 2025 from 2024, or excuse me, just down just a little bit, but you look at the three-year average up. If you look at the non-resident small game licenses, just under 85,000 is where we ended for the license year for non-resident small game licenses, which was fantastic to see. We had a great pheasant season. Our pheasant season still going on until the end of January. And with weather like we've been having, a lot of great opportunities exist out there for pheasant hunting opportunities. But if you look at that small game for non-residents and look at that three-year average, you know, we're about 5,000 above the three-year average, which is really indicative of what we've seen the last couple of years is a steady increase. And a lot of that has to do just with the resource that we have out there available right now, both from birds and our hunting opportunities through our access efforts. Last thing I would just point out, if you look at the very bottom line there, the combined totals, look at 2025, just under 175,000 related to small game, which is about 9,000 or so above the three-year average. So again, great numbers, great to see that participation level continues to grow. And that is something that we will strive for as we move forward into the future as well. Next page are your fishing licenses, again, broken down the same way. Had a great year of fishing. We are starting out a little slow right now. The weather, as much as we all love to have nice warm weather in January, it doesn't do a lot of great things for ice fishing opportunities. So we're probably falling behind a little bit from fishing license sales. We'll look closer at that over the next month or two as well. But hopefully that will pick up. But we had a fantastic year of fishing. You saw the presentation earlier on Lake Oahe. That's certainly not the only place that we had a lot of good fishing across the state. If you look at that bottom line, you'll see for 2025 between residents and non-residents, 163,000, almost 164,000. That is down a little bit from the three-year average, but that is probably most indicative because of the one-day fishing licenses. You'll see how those substantially decreased. That is likely a direct result of the fee package and the adjustments we made on the one-day non-resident fishing licenses. And but if you look at the three-day and the annual, both of those picked up from last year. So probably some switch there, but we probably lost a few folks that didn't buy as many one-day licenses this year as we had seen in the past. But overall, still looks very, very good. The last page is just kind of a summary overall between for residents and non-residents looking at the small game and fishing licenses combined. Again, as I mentioned earlier, this does not include all of our license types like our deer, elk, antelope, turkey, all the other not or limited number licenses that we include. The only thing I wanted to point out to you is from the revenue standpoint, you know, you folks have the responsibility of overseeing the budget. We talk about generating the revenue for operation to do our programs and all the work that we do. And you can just see between fishing and small game licenses, approximately $25 million alone of that, about $60 million for revenue that we need on an annual basis to operate comes from those two license types. And so very, very important piece of the overall operation things on the wildlife side. But it just shows, again, that we had a fantastic year. Things went very, very well. A lot of participation. Folks were very successful out there. From a big game hunting season or big game licenses, we are still very strong. Although, as you folks are very aware of, we did reduce licenses to combat the lower numbers of big game critters, especially deer in some locations. That remains a priority of ours moving into the future as well. We may have to make further adjustments in some local areas, but we're going to do our very best to build the herd and still provide opportunities. So we're going to find those balances, but that's certainly a priority of all of our managers and biologists and all of us sitting in this room, obviously. I would share one story. I ended the year with a mentor deer hunt to my youngest son. It was close, last hour, last day, but we were successful. So, I bring up mentor hunt because a lot of us in this room have either experienced it again or have know people that experienced it. And I know Kevin could share all kinds of story of his mentor hunts from this year as well. And, you know, we kind of get caught up in the deer thing of the big bucks and the quality bucks. And we understand that, right? That's something that a lot of our sports love to do. But I got to tell you, folks, those mentor hunts are some of the best hunts you can ever do. And it doesn't even have to be big game. It could be dove hunting. It could be waterfall hunting. It really doesn't matter. But those are great opportunities that you folks all provide to the users of South Dakota and those non-residents. So great stuff going on there. Couple other numbers I do want to share outside of specific hunting and fishing licenses. One would be in relation to the conservation or the habitat conservation plates, license plates for vehicles and the decals that our agency then sells for those individuals interested. So for 2025, we sold a total of 2,761 of the sets of decals for the habitat conservation plates. So that generated just under $140,000 that we were putting back on the ground for habitat projects across South Dakota. So it's a great way to continue to send the message of the importance of habitat. And I think it probably exceeded our expectations of how many people actually would acquire those conservation or habitat conservation plates. And it's fantastic to see because I don't think I've driven through a city in South Dakota for the last 2 months going to hockey games where I did not see vehicles with the habitat conservation plates. So we know it's out there everywhere. And so it's fantastic to see. And then another number I'd just like to share with you has to do with the Pete Lane and Sons shooting range. Remember the fees that were put in place for you want to use some of those specialized targets like the long range and the shotgun areas and that. So open in November, we had November, December, those 2 months. Right now, we are just under 400 memberships that have been sold to utilize some of those specialized areas on the range. When we were putting together all of the working plan and operational plan, trying to estimate how many of these we might sell, we anticipated probably somewhere around 1,200-ish, somewhere in there in terms of revenue generated for operational. In 2 months, we're one-third of the way there. And so we're really excited to see the level of excitement, enthusiasm, participation out there. On a nice day, our folks estimate that we could have over 500 people out there on a really nice sunny day, on a weekend in particular. I'm not sure what kind of attendance we're going to have once spring comes around in summer. So we're really excited about how things are playing on that. But I did want to share just a couple of those figures with you because I think those are important to hear and just to truly articulate how much interest and desire there is out there for that shooting range. So, Madam Chair, that's just a quick overview of some of the license sales updates and a few other numbers, and I'd be happy to answer any questions you may have.
Very good. Any questions from the commission and or comments? Commissioner White?
Not a question, but I think a point that all of us can relate to and probably our legislature too, but recently there was an article in one of the sport magazines. I don't know if it was called Diamond in the Rough, but it reflected the success of our hunting to the resources that South Dakota's made available through the CREP program. Mm. And they acknowledged that this was a foresight that this state put forth that is something that we all need to take a look at. So I think it's important for all of us to recognize that both the legislature that passed it and then the work that this agency has done to accentuate that to the level it's at for the successes that we're seeing. So I have to compliment our department and the legislature for bringing that to the light. Thank you.
Through the chair, if I may, Commissioner White, I appreciate you bringing up the CREP. It is a unique opportunity and program in South Dakota. The first in the country that developed a CREP that has the voluntary sign-up of CRP, the voluntary enrollment through our program that provides public access for hunting and fishing year-round. And it's been very, very successful. It's a priority of ours. We're going to continue to push that. We want to see more acres. We want to max out what we have available in the Big Sioux and the James River. So that's maxing out at 100,000 for the James River. We're at about 82 right now. The Big Sioux River maxes out in our agreement at 25,000. We're just under 5,000 right now. So we do have some room here to grow there, and that is a priority of ours. And we are talking about internally, how can we get more interest? And I also bring this up, why it's really important that you bring this up. That again articulates the importance of having our relationships and collaboration with landowners all across the state. In this particular case, it is a voluntary program, just like all of our other programs. And it does signify and identify that folks are interested in those programs. And but it's a wonderful collaborative relationship that we have with those landowners that enroll and are willing to sign up for that, allow that public hunting access there. And we're going to do everything in our powers to continue to grow that, enhance those programs, because our folks are looking for those opportunities, and we would not be able to do that without the landowners across the state of South Dakota.
Very good. Any other questions, comments? Secretary Roblin.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Tom, for covering all this great information. I just want to really highlight participation rates, and we go back to the Habitat Stamp. And that really, like Tom said, is a good indicator of participation. Many states across this country would love to see these types of numbers. Many states across the country are dealing with declining participation rates. But we here in South Dakota are dealing with increasing participation rates year after year after year. And it's a testament, I think, to the product that this state provides, the habitat, the access, you know, the hospitality. It's a all hands on deck group effort. And it's not just within the department, it's across the state. It's the hotels, it's the restaurants, it's just a combination of hospitality and inviting hunters to the great state of South Dakota. Tom just said it too, and it's our landowners, it's our farmers and ranchers that are providing that wildlife habitat. And it's just something to be really proud of as a commission and as a department, and we really are. I'm really proud of this team, but to see those participation rates grow year after year after year is really phenomenal. And I just want to really highlight that. And the Habitat Stamp sales speak for themselves. So, Tom, great work to you and the entire team. Keep up the great work, and let's make 2026 another year of increasing participation.
Yep.
Very good. Any other comments from the commission? Thank you for that report.
Welcome.
And that does conclude the January 2026 Game Fish and Parks Commission meeting. Just a big thank you to the department. We had a lot of items on this month's agenda and some very good reports to help us as a commission understand what we needed to do and make the right decision for the people of our state and the users of these resources. So thank you all for your hard work so we could do our job. Solicitation of agenda items for our next meeting, which will actually be in March. We'll be back here in Pierre. Any items that the commission would like to see brought forward? Seeing none, we do have a few remarks that we're going to share. I'm going to throw it to the department for the next round of remarks. Secretary.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair. And this does conclude one of our commissioners' last meeting. He's been with us for 8 years, Mr. John Locken, sitting to my right, and he has never missed a meeting. Perfect attendance. Give John a round of applause for that. That is exciting. John, you've been a phenomenal commissioner, and I remember the first time it was Kelly Hepler and I that interviewed you in a room in Aberdeen, and I thought to myself, this is our guy. And this has been a great run, and I've been alongside of you every step of the way. I do have a few things for you, and the first being on behalf of Governor Roden, he'd like to thank you for your 8 years of service and dedication to the great state of South Dakota and to the dedication to not just the public, but Game Fish and Parks in particular. Here he had a handwritten thank you letter signed by him, and very, very deserving, John, of that, and very, you know, just grateful for your service, your public service. Thank you. I can't thank you enough. There's been a lot of phone calls, a lot of conversations, a lot of work that has gone into those last 8 years. We've taken on a lot of big issues at times, and you were there to help navigate along the way. Along with that, the commission and the department also wants to present with you a gift here that Deputy Secretary Simpson has literally ran down the UPS man to get this here on time. So we do have a gift, and Deputy Secretary, do you want to explain the gift a little bit and do the presentation? Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Secretary Roebling. A little personal privilege, if I could, Madam Chair. So when John came on the commission 8 years ago, I saw an opportunity. I've got a hobby, little hobby farm out in northwestern South Dakota, and I saw a very successful rancher, or excuse me, successful farmer coming onto our board, and I thought, man, if I could just pick his brain about some things, right? So over the years, as Kevin said, 80 different times we've been able to get together, and whether it be over a meal, during a meeting break, maybe over an adult beverage or two, I've been able to pick John's brain about seed and herbicide and, buying land and all those kinds of things. He's really taught me a lot about what it takes to be a successful ag producer. But the biggest lesson that I learned from John about being an ag producer was in a story that he told. John, for a couple of years, had gone into a John Deere dealership, and there was a little pedal tractor that was up on the shelf. And he'd go in there and he'd ask the guy at the counter. He'd say, what do you need for that? And the guy started at a number, and it was, oh man, that was a little bit more than John was going to be willing to pay. So over time, he worked him down to a price and got him down to where he thought it was pretty reasonable. And the guy finally said, yeah, I'll take that. And John said, well, okay, I'll pay that. But on the invoice, I needed to say tractor parts because John wanted to make sure that it was a farm expense. And that's one of the biggest lessons that I learned is that as an ag producer, there are lots of opportunities that show some expense. So thank you for that, John. And that will play a little role here. So it's been tradition for the commission and the department to buy a bat for a commissioner that's leaving. And it symbolizes what that commissioner has done as far as going to bat for the commission, for going to bat for the citizens of the state, to go to bat for the resources that we have in the state. And John is very deserving of that. And we have something for him here today. Now, the other part of that is that somehow I've become the official bat order for the commission. And so it's kind of up to me as to what we buy and how we buy it and what it says on the bat and all those good things. So go ahead, Chris. So as I put this thing together, I went back to John's lesson and taking every advantage of an opportunity. John, we'd like to present you today with a John Deere cattle tank ice remover and semi-tire checker.
Well, thank you very much. I'll tell a little story. I really appreciate this. My wife had a big old china closet, probably she got from a great grandma or something like that. And she was going to take it to the Goodwill or something, or to the shop that resells some of that stuff. And I kind of bowled my way in, and I moved it into the bedroom, and I've kind of turned it into my personal museum. And now I've got a restored 1959 Harley Davidson sitting beside it in the bedroom. I'll put Christmas lights on it. So I'll find a special place for this. To be sure to tell the governor, I really appreciate it. I want to say thanks for putting up with me for all these years. Let me start with Russ Olson and Chuck Spring. The last two commissioners that have left, they both choked up when they got talking about it. It really means something to be on this commission for the state of South Dakota and the people of South Dakota. And I've really been honored and proud to be on. I've made all the meetings. I will say I farm, and there's a few times I've pulled out of the yard in the morning and there's two combines, two tractors hooked to grain carts and six semis in the yard. And it's kind of tough to get away, but, you know, I just figured I'm committed to it. I'm going to do it. So I have to thank my wife, Dana, and my family. They've really covered for me. They've really done a good job. And Kevin asked me last night what I'm most proud about. And I gave it some thought. And one of the things that I was really proud about was that this comment was not made to me. I overheard other commissioners talking. And one of them said to the other one, he said, "Well, we don't have to worry about looking out for the little guy. Commissioner Locken is always looking out for the little guy." So I hope that, you know, I hope the people in South Dakota realize that. And then Dana made a comment yesterday that, "Doggone it, you did a good job," she said. So I really appreciate that. And it's been an honor. The staff is fabulous. I guess every one of the people that have presented have just been fabulous through the years. The sportsmen and women have been great. I'm going to go off script a little bit and say there's a couple of people that I want to make a shout out to. We've shouted out to tourism. They've been such worked together with us and done a fabulous job. And the other one is DOT. We've never given them credit. You know, you can bring people in from out of state. You can travel across the state, and DOT has done a fabulous job on the infrastructure in the state. And I'm going to point to one more person over here, Bob Mercer. He's started with the Aberdeen paper, Aberdeen American News, in 1984, I guess it was. And he's done such a fabulous job. He's always done a great job of reporting for the department. And he's really an icon in the state. And I suppose I've read his articles since I was probably in grade school. I don't know. But he's done a great job. And I think, I'm sure I can speak for everybody. My wife and I have four kids, and they all call South Dakota home. And we want to make it a better place. And it all fits together. The recreation aspect is so important to a society. And we'd be like the rest of the world if we didn't have recreation. And that's what, that's why I'm so proud of South Dakota and proud to call it home and proud to work with all you people. Thanks.
Yeah. Madam Chair, we do have one more gift for John from the staff within the department. So here's another gift.
Oh boy, I didn't expect this.
Just a little EF&P swag and a card as well, and just want to thank you for your years of service. So, yeah, it's the good farewell gift.
Well, that's perfect. You say it's a flag?
No. Swag, a little. So there's a sweatshirt in there, and also your tag, a commissioner tag, along with, yeah, you can pull it out of there.
Sure. Well, I'll wear that with pride. It's my favorite Carhartt.
Very good.
Very good. Well, with that, we are going to conclude our meeting. Thank you for your service to the state of South Dakota, Commissioner Locken.
Thank you. And it's been an honor.
And with that, we do need a motion to adjourn. Moved by Bartley, seconded by Bees. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, we are adjourned.